Hey, kids, it's Old Man Freak Boy.
Vector, Batman, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
What do you want me to call you?
Oh, Freak Boy.
Freak Boy?
Yeah.
All right.
And it's got a pretty good range, so just ignore that it's there.
All right. Okay, so this is welcome to the first ever podcast of My Supper with Seymour, and this is Seymour Snot, the geek with the physique. And I'm here with my my partner, Freak Boy. Freak Boy, you're looking a little sweaty there.
I am ran into a little bad luck lately. My car is without air conditioning in the middle of some 90-plus degree weather.
Really?
Yeah. So the car is from 2003, so it's, 11 years old?
Yeah, about 11.
At this point?
Yeah, about 11.
It's got, 128,000 miles on it, and a couple years ago, it pretty much died, and a mechanic got it up and going again and gave it, 3 months to live.
Right.
He advised against getting it fixed, but I went for it because it wasn't going to cost that much.
Right, and you probably didn't want to get a new car.
Right.
Okay.
Got two little kids.
Right.
At that point, my daughter was two, so she was much more expensive than she was in diapers.
Right.
So at this point, the air conditioning went. I went to get it checked out. They added some Freon. It was good to go, but within a month, it stopped again. And the price on it now is $1,700
wow.
to get it fixed. And so since it was supposed to die over a year and a half ago,
right,
I'm hesitant to put another $1,700 into the car.
So, what are you going to do? I mean, this has, been the hottest week of the year so far.
I know.
Here in North Carolina.
Yeah. And just today they were talking on the weather, and we're going to get a break from it. It's going to drop down to 80.
Oh, okay, there we go.
And then next Monday it'll be up to 90. So when I need the car again,
right,
it'll be up there again. So I went and bought a $20 fan to plug in the cigarette lighter.
Right.
That helped a little.
Are you a cab driver?
Yeah. If I charged fares, maybe
right.
I could afford to get the car fixed.
Right. The kids aren't old enough yet.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I broke out a John Cena sweatband.
Right.
Keep the sweat out of my eyes while I'm driving.
Okay.
And just the other day, I brought I think it's called an Ultra Cool head wrap thing. It's kind of made out of the Under Armour material.
Right.
You soak it in water, wring it out. It's supposed to drop your body temperature by 30 degrees.
Right.
So
it looks like you're riding a camel or something, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It makes me look like... or I look like Cornholio, depending upon how I put it on. Now, if we're going to be honest, the drop your body temperature by 30 degrees
right.
might be a little bit of an exaggeration.
Right.
However, it does cool me down quite a bit.
Right.
So... I don't know. It might make it through the summer with this.
So you'll probably have the flu within a week or so.
Well, that too, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But consider this. If I do have the flu, I have a reason not to drive all the way to work
right.
in the hot car.
So you can just stay home in the air conditioning.
Yeah.
And freeze.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Work on more radio shows.
Work on more radio shows. Watch more wrestling.
Yes. What else could you ask for in life?
Right. That's all. You don't have to ask for much.
Wrestling and music.
Wrestling, music. Comic books, cartoons, that's life right there.
There you go. So you got any matches coming up on shows?
I do. June 28th at the Raleigh Brewing Company. It's Honey, I Suplex the Kids.
That's a great name.
Yeah, I like that. That's, that goes to the Shaw's creation, I think. That was his, the Shaw of Grog. But, yeah, that's going to be, we got, the CrossFit Cowboy, Jimmy Jack Funk Jr., defending the Gouge title against the crazy German from Johnston County, Otto Schwanz.
The big beef.
The big German beef. And, you know, like Timmy Lou Retton, you know, the rookie sensation, taking on the nice guy, Mickey Gambino.
And he's not really very nice.
No, he's not nice. He's, you know, he's kind of mean, actually.
He's like the worst name ever.
I know. You know, I mean, no, if it's that pink jacket or his pink hat, you know. But his manager won't be there.
Oh.
He won't be there.
Wow.
Yeah, he's like, I think he's like, he has to go to like some business meeting or something, like on a chain of 7-Elevens or something, you know. So he won't be there. Ali Akbar, Admiral Akbar. Now that name too, I think, is copywritten by Jimmy Jack Funk Jr. So I think he owns that name, and he's lent it out to Fidel Castrada or whatever his name was before. I think they're related somehow. They might be cousins.
Twice removed.
Smart Mark Green, the guy who wore a dress. Which, incidentally, there's nothing wrong with that.
No. Unless you're him.
And then, of course, you know, we'll have, you know, myself, the geek with the physique, defending the spaceman Frank Hickey scientific wrestling trophy against the last Holy Roman Empire conqueror, Gluteus Maximus.
Now, that you've had a streak of matches with him.
Right.
Since before the timeout. Yeah.
Right.
Is this the end of the feud, or are we just like picking up speed on that?
You know, to tell you the truth, I think it's picking up momentum, because, you know, like the last time when we wrestled at Cinco de Mayhem, you know, it was probably one of the most brutal matches I think you know, people might have seen, and you know, to give. To really say something about it was there were no weapons used or anything like that. That was just human game of chess right there.
Right. Determination.
Attrition. War of the wills. Who would give up first? And of course, you know, we ended up both getting counted out, you know, outside the ring, so we really didn't have a winner there, so...
Technically, you didn't have a winner.
Right.
However, if the rules were tweaked and it was false count anywhere, you would have won.
Right. I did hit him with the snot drop out on the ring trailer. Yeah. So a little bit of a moral victory, but it wasn't exactly the victory I was hoping for.
Right.
You know, it should have been in the middle of the ring, you know.
So I did mention the timeout.
Right.
So do we want to... brush on that subject a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, so Gouge had been running shows at the Lucha Dome.
Right.
Consistently for a while.
Right.
And those shows were fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Regular crowd showing up. Right. It had become our arena.
Right.
You representing the wrestlers, myself representing the fans.
Right.
It was our place. It was our home. It was our ECW arena.
Right.
Somebody... ratted us out.
I know, that's the thing.
We're not exactly sure who.
Right.
We think we know.
Oh, yeah.
But there's no proof to it, so we don't want to point fingers.
Well, you know, I think it's the whole deal of someone not liking what you were doing and deciding to ruin it, the heart, you know, like, just decided to drop a big bomb on it.
Right.
Because, like, obviously we had found a niche, and we found a crowd, and all of a sudden they decided to say, well, we can't let this go on because, you know, these guys are, they're not wrestlers, they're entertainers, or they're out there in cowboy hats and glasses and neckties and Olympic medals, and, you know, they're not wearing, you know, underwear like we are, you know.
Right.
Which I think is even a sillier concept.
Yeah, they're wearing briefs,
right?
Or bikinis, if
right?
You will.
And you know, I mean, if once again, if that's your preference, that's fine by you. But I think that the fans we had preferred a little something different.
But it was cut short,
right?
Right, and it was days before we were moving towards a pretty big show.
Uh huh.
And then that was gone.
Right.
And so we've been off for about 2 months.
Uh-huh.
And so at this next show, the Honey I Suplex the Kids, is the first show back.
Right.
So hopefully we'll be able to pick up where we left off quality show for everyone.
Right. I think a lot of people are going to be entertained by it, and I think that's what is missing is the entertainment factor. I think too many people try to overthink everything and just enjoy it and have fun.
Right. Oh, there's one thing that can be said. There's not too much overthinking.
Right.
At a gala show.
No, there's not. You don't have to concentrate or read a manual or anything like that.
Go, you cheer, you laugh, you yell, you boo.
Right.
Pretty simple.
Uh-huh.
Except for tutus. There are wrestlers in tutus that I'm never quite sure if we're supposed to boo or cheer.
Right.
Is that a personal choice that we're supposed to make?
It's totally up to the fans. If they want to boo them, they can boo them. If they want to cheer them, they can cheer them, you know.
It's complicated.
And actually, I would prefer more fans to come out and buy my t-shirt, so that would be a good... That's a cheap plug, so...
That's true. T-shirts are available at the shows.
Right. Buttons, 8x10s.
I think Jimmy Jack Funk has custom DVDs available.
Custom DVDs, cowbells.
Yeah, he does have his cowbells. Are you going to expand into more gimmicky merchandise?
I may be looking at glasses, you know. I think everybody needs some smart eyewear, you know. Some snotwear.
What about jars of snot?
Jars of snot, I think, would be okay. I could have, like maybe a mason jar with my glasses on them and just, you know, filled with snot.
Yeah. I think that would be big with the kids.
Yeah.
If you keep the price low, I think you get a lot of kids allowance money on that. So.
Exactly. I will take debit cards, spare change, cab fare, free food.
Food is good, right?
Food, beer money.
I was at one show, and a guy showed up with a case of beer for Otto.
Right.
Yeah. I thought that was nice.
It was.
I think he appreciated that. The only other time I've seen that happen was at a Chikar show, and some fan showed up with a case of Pop-Tarts for the Battiri.
Oh, yeah?
And they just chowed down on that right in front of everybody.
You know who'd make a good opponent for the Battiri?
Who?
I would. Seymour Snot would make a good opponent for the Battiri.
Seymour Snot would be a perfect fit for Chikara.
I know. He should be in Chikara. And that Twitter account is @SeymourSnot on Twitter.
Yes, well, Chikara's just recently come back. I know they've refreshed the roster, so it would be a good time for them to let you take a walk in. They're coming down to North Carolina in October.
Right.
So at the very least, maybe by then, they could give you a look. But I'm sure if they wanted you to take a drive to one of the other stops on their season tour, you'd be up for it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, how could they go wrong, you know? I think I would be a perfect fit to team up with Jervis Cottonbelly to take on the Battiri.
Yes. Definitely.
But, you know, I don't know about the throwbacks, though. I mean, you know, I'm a nerd, and they seem to be the jocks, and we always don't get along.
That's true.
Unless they want me to do their math homework or something like that.
That might be a better fit.
Right.
You could be the throwback's protected nerd.
Right.
You're their nerd.
Right.
You do their homework, and they watch your back.
Right. Their tutor.
Right. I like that better.
Okay.
You and Mark Angelosetti would be a... I could see that being a good tag team right
yeah.
there. That would be a with your both of your ring styles, that would be a good matchup, actually. You just recently got back from Cauliflower... Ugh. You just recently got back from... Holy crap.
Cauliflower Alley Club?
That's what I was trying to say.
There you go.
Tell me a little bit about that trip. I saw your pictures online, @SeymourSnot on Twitter and on Facebook.
Right.
Well, on Facebook, you don't... There's no Seymour Snot on Facebook.
I know, there has to be a Seymour Snot.
There should be a Seymour Snot fan page.
I know, that has to come up. I am working on that, trust me. It was like the 49th annual Cauliflower Alley Club, and it was basically you know, they kind of just go out and honor people that have done stuff in the wrestling business. You know, like they gave, you know, like the highest award, which was the Lou Thesz Award. They gave that to Michael Hayes, Freebirds, you know, WWE producer.
Doc Hendricks,
you know, smiling Doc Hendricks, who has incredibly long hair. And, of course, he wore this fabulous shiny suit. So he was in a Panama Jack hat. So that was just, you know, that was all sorts of awesomeness right there. And then, of course, you know, they gave an award to Terry Taylor, the Red Rooster.
Yes.
The Red Rooster got an award.
Now, he also was in WCW.
Right.
Wasn't he in Goldust's ex-wife's corporation?
Oh, the York Foundation.
The York Foundation.
Yeah, he was Terrence Taylor.
Terrence Taylor, right.
The computerized man of the 90s.
Yes.
Which took place in 1991. And
was
basically him wearing a ponytail. Was the, you know, he didn't even have, like, you know, money symbols on his boots or tights, you know. Right. He just came in. And, of course, you know, like, they had Thomas Rich and Richard Morton, of course, you know, and Richard Morton was wearing Rock and Roll Express gear, so.
That made sense.
Yeah, that made total sense right there. My favorite name, and then, of course, you know, after that went down and that was over, he became the tailor-made man.
Right.
So, wherever that led to. And then he went back to the WWE and he became a terrific Terry Taylor.
Which was not such a terrific name.
No, it wasn't. You know, I think he ended up doing interviews or something. And
right.
He was kind of like the pre-Stan Lane for a moment.
that job was about as successful as my getting you off track here. So
right.
go back to the Godfather.
Oh, they gave awards to, I think the Active Wrestler Award was Adam Pearce. He won an award. Of course, you know, he's a former NWA World Champion.
Right.
Cheerleader Melissa got an award. Short Sleeve Samson got an award. You know, and they gave, you know, some of the stuff that they gave out. And they gave it a Trainer's Award. And this is interesting. They gave a Trainer's Award out to Ron Hutchison, who was the trainer of Edge and Christian. And
right.
He also, I believe, trained Rhino and Trish Stratus.
Yes.
Which is funny because, you know, like Sin Bodhi, who was Kazarni in WWE, was the presenter for the award for him. And it was funny because he was giving the award out to him and he put over how, you know, Ron Hutchison, you know, like, you know, basically, like, beat his ass and, you know, told him what he was doing wrong and stuff like that. And some of the guys I see wrestling today, it's like, you know, you tell them something negative and they cry and quit. Or they decide to wrestle in backyards because no one will be mean to them.
Right.
So, however that works nowadays. So just remember, you put your own life in their hands. So
good luck.
Good luck. So we're out in Las Vegas, and it's hot, but it's not as hot as it is here.
Not as hot as it is in my car.
Yeah, because they don't have humidity. So it was a pretty good trip. I went ziplining, 51 stories in the air.
I could not do that. I cannot handle the height.
Went and saw Jimmy J.J. Walker.
Dynamite.
You know, not to be confused with the $5 wrestling Dynamite. And, you know, overall, I'd say it was a real fun trip. It was just to get good to get out of North Carolina for a while and kind of just go out to someplace else and have fun and have a real vacation, you know, rather than, like, do one where you go somewhere and it's like you don't do anything.
Right.
So, like, my advice to anyone that goes to someplace like Las Vegas, get out of the hotel and see as much of the place as you can because
yeah.
There's more to life than TGI Fridays.
So, the Cauliflower Alley Club.
Right.
How do you get to go to that?
Basically, you join, and you become a member, and you pay to get into the banquets, and that's it.
How do you become a member? Is it open to the public, or is it more of a closed circle?
It's more open to the public. It is now. Like, years ago, I think it was a little bit more closed, but now I think everything's been... I mean, you know, like everything else, it's all exposed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they welcome just about anybody to come in there. But I think to be like awarded something, you pretty much have to have something done with wrestling.
Right.
But then again, you know, they do give a fan award out, which is pretty cool, I think.
Yeah.
You know, because like some of these people have been buying tickets for years, and it is kind of nice for them to get somewhat, you know, recognized.
Right.
So it is give and take. I mean, we do, you know, what we do is go out and entertain. And then, of course, you know, people buy tickets to come and see us, and it's nice to say a thank you to them.
Sure. And this was the first year you went.
Yeah, first year I went. So it was pretty cool. Like, I really, you know, like, I met, like, Terry Funk, which was cool. I think he's awesome. You know, like, and I also met Dennis Brent, the guy that wrote the book that How I Learned How to Get Into Professional Wrestling. So that was interesting, too. I basically walked up to him and said, hey, I bought your book from the back of a Pro Wrestling Illustrated in 1995. So
what was his reaction to that? Because I'm going to guess I meet more bands than I do wrestlers.
Right.
Based on having the radio show.
Right.
And if you go meet a superstar band,
right,
they don't, even if they're super nice about it, they really don't give a crap.
Right.
But if you go meet the band that plays at the local bar, and if you know their stuff, they're super excited to meet someone that knows what they've done and stuff.
Right.
So was he like...
He was actually really cool. He was like, wow, you know, you bought my book and everything. And I was like, yeah, I did. You know, 20 years ago, $20 was, you know, that was hard for me. But, you know, yeah, it was cool. And, you know, like I told him, I said, you know, I've been wrestling for, you know, 16 years and stuff. And he was like, wow, really? And, you know, I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, you know, I just felt bad because he was kind of in ill health, so I didn't want to, like, waste his time or anything, or, you know, like, bog him down with anything.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, it's hard to talk to people, you know. Like, Dick Byer, the Destroyer, was there, and he just, like, looked in bad shape. Mm-hmm. Nick Bockwinkel looked pretty bad. But, you know, that's what happens. You get older, and, you know, after taking so many years of bumps and stuff, it does add up.
Right.
So, but, you know, that's just aging.
Yeah. But it's awesome that you got to meet those guys. I mean, those are true legends.
Right.
Beyond what the WWE may dictate as who a legend is. These
are
guys that really paved the road.
Yeah, really wrestled for years and, like, you know, did stuff. You know, some guys, you know, and it's just, I think today, because, you know, there's only one big promotion to work for, you know, there's not a whole lot of opportunity for guys anymore. So it's a, you know, the old school way of doing things, you know, really was for guys to bargain and stuff. And nowadays that's gone, you know, and it's kind of like you're working for one person and that's it. You know, it's like, you know, it's like if McDonald's took over all the fast food restaurants, all you could do is work for McDonald's, you know. But anyhow, that's a different rant for a different time, I guess.
So what was Terry Funk like?
He was cool. He was just like, you know, like, he was just one of those guys. He's got like this soft voice, you know, and he's just like, hey, man, how you doing, you know? And you're like, wow, you know, I saw this guy, like, you know, he beat the hell out of these guys, and, you know, he's got the softest voice in the world, and, you know, when he puts his hand on you, you know, you're just like, wow, you know, it's just like, it's just a weird, you know, like, you're like, this guy's been wrestling since, you know, the 60s, you know, and you're like, you know, and really, like, the biggest thing, the way that I learned about him was, you know, of course, you know, in the mid-80s, because, you know, that's really when I started watching wrestling. And, you know, he was feuding with Junkyard Dog and WWE, and then, you know, and then he had that great feud with Ric Flair in WCW, and it's like, wow, that was awesome. And, you know, meet, you know, the guy that really could, like, incorporate, you know, wrestling and hardcore, and, you know, he could do it all, really.
Right.
So it was great. It was really cool to meet him. I met Jim Ross. I think he was in a hurry to get out of there.
Your picture with Jim Ross is, like... In the most negative way, the most awesome picture I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, every other picture, it seems like, you know, like, the person's just like, all right, cool, let's take a picture. And he does not look like he could get out of that picture fast enough. I mean, and I know he's got health issues and,
right,
you know, he had the stroke and stuff, but it doesn't even look like, like, is the rest of his, like, he could have put his arm around you or something.
I think I had a friendlier time with Gerald Briscoe, I think, you know. Michael Hayes, it would have been cool to get a picture with Michael Hayes, but as soon as he gave his, like, speech and they took his picture with the award, it was like he made a beeline towards the door. He was like, bam, gone, you know.
Wow.
So.
Do you think a guy like him who had been around for so long, and I just remember coming home after school and watching him on ESPN where they would show the reruns of World Class Championship Wrestling,
right,
and, like, him blinding the Von Erichs with the Freebird hair cream and all that great stuff. And then he showed up in World Championship Wrestling.
Right.
And, like, I didn't understand. When I watched World Class Championship Wrestling, I didn't understand. I was watching reruns for a while. And, like, he was, like, 40 pounds, 50 pounds heavier.
Right.
Like, overnight.
Right.
And it was, like, the craziest. And then he was Doc Hendricks.
Right. I think, like, the thing that got me about... The thing that was funny about Michael Hayes to me was, okay, so in 88 or 89, like, early 88, 89, he was in, like, WCW as a babyface, but he was by himself, and he didn't have, you know, Terry Gordy or Buddy Roberts, uh-huh, or anything, and, you know, you turn on, like, WCW Saturday Night or World Championship Wrestling, and it's, like, TV main event time, and it's, like, Junkyard Dog and Michael Hayes against the Russian Assassins.
Yeah.
And then, all of a sudden he turns on Lex Luger, and I'm just like, okay, heel Michael Hayes by himself, and then boom comes Terry Gordy. I'm like, okay, this could be interesting. But then he forms the Freebirds again with Jimmy Garvin, and I'm kind of confused now because it's like they're just a regular tag team. You know, it's not the three-man unit, you know.
Right.
And then, like, into the 90s, like, when they had the Freebirds together, it was like they would change their appearance, you know, like, every few shows. Like, I remember they had their eye makeup period.
Yeah, with lipstick. They wear lipstick, too.
Yeah, they were in makeup, you know, and it was like, and then my favorite was when they got rid of, their theme song, which was, like, Bad Street USA, right?
Which I still argue is a really good song.
It is a good song. And then Michael Hayes came up with this song called, what was it, like, I'm a Free Bird and What's Your Excuse? And they him and Jimmy Garvin came out basically wearing, like, Panama hats and were trying to be, like, more hip. And really, they weren't.
Right.
I mean, it was just the theme song and the ring intro was, like, the only different thing about them. But then he becomes Doc Hendricks.
Right.
So, and he had to get a haircut.
Well, but before, two haircuts, because there's the infamous haircut on the plane.
Oh, you're right.
But before we get to that, two horrible Freebird things. One was when they would wear the Rebel Flag face paint.
Right.
And two, when WCW was facing their lawsuit for discrimination.
Right.
Which resulted in Ron Simmons, like, shotgunning from mid-card to becoming world champion, which Ron Simmons was awesome, so...
Right.
Nothing against Ron Simmons, but boy, he jumped up that card.
Yeah, but the only thing I didn't like about that was, like, Ron Simmons was wearing those awful red boots with, like, his black trunks, and he had, like, these red boots that were, like, from 1985.
Yeah.
And they had the generic RS on the side.
Right.
Yeah.
But they put that other guy in the Freebirds. I'm blanking on his name.
Bad Street?
Was that the... Well, wasn't that... That was the guy in the mask.
Oh, you mean when they had... they took Rocky King.
Rocky King.
And they called him Little Richard Marley.
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty awful.
Just so you... We're not racist.
Right.
We're a black guy in the Freebirds.
Right. And then... But see, like, the thing that was so scary was the fact... And here's, like, my favorite wrestling logic, okay? So, they do this pay-per-view, which is... they do Super Brawl 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the opening match is the Freebirds against the Young Pistols, which is Tracy Smothers and Steve Armstrong,
right?
And so they get in a brawl in the beginning of the match, And Brad Armstrong just happens to be down, runs down to ringside to help out. Now, Brad Armstrong wasn't on the card, like he wasn't advertised or anything. So he runs out in sweatpants, and his sweatpants are covering his wrestling boots, which are white. So like 10 minutes later, when Bad Street, Fantasia, or whoever came out and helps the Freebirds win, and then later we find out that Fantasia was, or Bad Street was, Brad Armstrong.
Right.
So he ran out to help his brother in the beginning of the match, runs to the back, and has to finish putting on his costume to do a run-in at the end of the match.
That's brilliant.
That's like so many levels of genius right there. And what was even better was the fact that, like, when they were doing, like, six-man tags, Brad did all the work.
Right.
And, like, Michael Hayes, like, would moonwalk up and down on the edge of the ring the whole match and maybe throw a punch.
Right. The workhorse.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, this wasn't Michael Hayes in 1985. This was, like, Michael Hayes in 1991, and I think the years were catching up on him.
Really fast,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
They got up on him really fast.
Which was scary, too, because, like, I remember, like, I've watched, like, UWF or Mid-South DVDs, right?
Yeah.
And, like, Jimmy Garvin in the late 70s, early 80s looked like Rick Steiner.
Wow.
Okay. But then, like, Jimmy Garvin of, like, 1989 and 1990, I'm like, I was never a big fan because I was like, you know, AWA stuff. And then, you know, but then it was like the Freebirds were like, I mean, come on, you put the Freebirds against the Steiner Brothers. It was like, so these guys are going to poke their eyes out to beat the Steiner Brothers, and
right.
They never did.
So the Steiner Brothers,
uh-huh.
Do they still wrestle together? I know Scott Steiner does matches still.
I don't think Rick does. I don't think Rick wrestles anymore. I think he does, like, autographs and stuff. I've had breakfast with him before, so.
Really? What was that like?
It was pretty cool. He bought it for us, so that was awesome. Yeah, he was, you know, he's a cool guy. I mean, and you know, the two, like, I think, like, Rick was, like, one of the first, like, you know, now bear in mind, like, I was never a big, like, WCW, NWA fan growing up because I lived in the Northeast and I watched WWF all the time, WWE. But, you know, like, when they started changing over in, like, the late 80s, like, Rick Steiner and the Steiner Brothers were, like, I was, like, the biggest fan for those guys because they were, like, you know, like, I was wrestling in high school and I was, like, I'd put on my singlet and I'd, you know, look in the mirror and do the Rick Steiner bark because it was so awesome because, like, his character when it was, like, when he was doing, like, the mentally challenged Rick Steiner was awesome, you know? Because, like, you know, like, they put him with, like, Mike Rotundo and Kevin Sullivan. And at first you're like, okay, it's just Rick Steiner. And then they form the Varsity Club. And then they let Rick Steiner talk. And it's like, oh, he's like the idiot of the group.
Right. That was interesting, too, because they did it in a way that really didn't make him look all that bad.
Right.
Like, it seemed real, like, it was, like, realistic. Like,
uh-huh.
He was the challenged kid that was going to whip your ass.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, like, one of my, you know, like, and then there's, like, the period. It's funny because, like, when, like, Rick turns, like, full, like, I don't even think Rick was much of a heel because he was, like, you know, he was doing the whole, like, you know, he was hugging the fans and you're like, oh, wow, this guy isn't bad, you know.
Right.
And then they brought in Scott, who was, like, wrestling in Memphis at the time, which, by the way, there is a squash match out there of Ronnie Garvin killing Scott Steiner in, like, 2 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that on YouTube?
I think it's on YouTube. It's out there somewhere. I've seen it before. And, you know, Scott had those terrible yellow boots and the yellow trunks. Remember that?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Before they got the cool jams looks.
Right.
Like, Rick had to wear that University of Michigan singlet forever.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they come out, and I remember, like, Jim Cornette was going nuts. He goes, they look like Super Ninja Turtles or something. Or whatever you want to call them. Okay, so anyhow, you know, like, I don't read comic books that much anymore. That's what Wikipedia is for. I still read comic books. But I basically, whenever I go to, like, Barnes & Noble, because, you know, like, if you go into a comic book shop, you pick up a comic book, you're buying it.
Right.
You know, there's no reading, you know. So, like 2 years ago, DC Comics decides to kill their universe off and reboot it.
Right.
So now there's like a 5-year gap of like technically where everything began. So in 5 years, Batman's debuted. He's gone through 3 or 4 Robins. He's had his back broken by Bane. He's died and come back. And now they're doing like a story called Year Zero, which is basically supposed to be like them getting rid of the whole Year One concept and making like Batman riding a motorcycle with like a shaved head and he's firing a crossbow and trying to stop the Riddler and the Penguin from taking over Gotham City. Oh, and the Red Hood gang.
Okay, hold on.
So I'm confused.
All right, hold on. Let's wait. So the new 52 hits.
Right.
Okay. So I was actively reading at that point.
Right.
New 52 hits.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, at that point, I was struggling to find the money to keep reading.
Right.
I tunneled big. I had started Justice League rebooted about 7 years ago.
Right.
When my son was born. And I was like, well, I'm going to get him Justice League. And just like you're saying, you walk into a comic shop, you're going to buy it. So I was just going to get him Justice League. And then as I'm getting Justice League, I started spiraling out. And I started Batman again and Nightwing and Superman.
It's like a drug addiction.
Yes. So the new 52 hits. And I'm like, that's it. I'm going to do this. I'm kicking the habit. And I'm stopping. And I did. I stopped. So I have no concept of the new 52. What you're telling me is they rebooted the new 52.
Right.
They did a story. So the new issue one of the new 52 is 5 years into the DC Universe?
It's like, yeah, exactly. It's okay. Like, well, basically, the Justice League starts it off.
Okay. And now they're doing Year Zero?
Right.
Which is restarting it again.
Well, it's basically supposed to be before the Justice League.
So this is a prequel to the 52?
Pretty much. So they're confusing everybody again.
Okay.
And the concept of the multiple Earths does exist, but everything is on the same time frame. So like my favorite part about like Earth 1 and Earth 2 years ago, right, was it was the older superheroes that lived on Earth 2,
right,
and the younger versions that lived on Earth 1.
Right. So on Earth 2, you had the Justice Society.
Right.
With, like, the Sandman.
Right.
Phantom Stranger, those guys.
Right.
And then on Earth 1, you had Batman, Superman.
Right.
With, like, Green Lantern and the...
You had, like...
The Wally West,
right,
Flash. Or the Barry Allen Flash.
Right. Right. And now it's, like, the concept is, like... totally gone. Like, okay, so like the Flash that I grew up with was like the last days of Barry Allen into, yeah, Wally West.
Right.
Okay. So now there's no Wally West. There's only Barry Allen.
Right.
And the Kid Flash concept is being kept because, of course, you know, they have to have Impulse around because, you know,
for the
younger
Titans.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there is a Titans. I think it's like Young Justice.
Young Justice.
Right.
For the cartoon show.
Now here's where I'm confused also. So during the course of the first, like when they did the story of the Justice League, right? One of the founding members, are you ready for this? Because I know you're going to look at me this. Is Cyborg. Okay.
Right.
Now, I was only under the assumption, and I remember reading in the comics when Cyborg was basically like the angry ex-college athlete who was turned into a half-man, half-robot by his father to save his life.
Right.
And he joins the Teen Titans because he's basically like, what, 19 years old?
Right.
18, 19 years old. And now he's like in this super armored suit, and now he's like kept on the Justice League because he has a boom tube which is the interdimensional travel transportation device of the new gods, which now somehow are existing again.
So the new gods are back, okay.
Well, just Darkseid.
Oh, just Darkseid.
Just Darkseid.
Just the evil one.
Just the evil one. They didn't bring back, you know, Mr. Miracle or Orion or any, or Barda yet. Yeah. You know they will.
Right.
They have to. They have to give Jack Kirby's family money every
At
few
some
years.
Point, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would be blown away, but I was actually familiar with the fact that Cyborg was going to be in this because they did put out a toy line a year or two ago that my son got that was the Justice League, and it did have Cyborg in it.
Right.
But now this I'm curious about this because this will be huge. In the toy line, they had John Stewart as the Green Lantern.
Right.
In the New 52, who is the Green Lantern on the Justice League?
You know, that's a good question because when I first started reading it, it was Hal Jordan. Mm-hmm. But then I'm confused because, like, every time I go to Wikipedia or someplace to look up Hal Jordan, they kind of, like, they're real vague about it.
Uh-huh.
Because they ended up giving a power ring to a American Islamic guy wearing a mask now and carrying a gun, which I'm like totally lost because why would you give a power ring to someone who carries a gun?
Or simpler, why would you carry a gun if you had a power ring?
Exactly. And you know, like, I'm sure this is how people felt, like, 20 years ago when they did the whole, like, Hal Jordan is evil, you know, right. And they gave the ring to, like, Kyle Rayner and made him the only Green Lantern, which, you know, like, within a couple of years, it turned out people accepted it and they didn't care, but, you know, now it's like, you know, there's, like, everybody tries to push the concept, you know, it's like, you know, Hal Jordan was the first human and blah, 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 and now it's like, they kind of just, like, you know, I think if the movie had been successful, he'd be in there with Batman and Superman.
Right.
And yet Wonder Woman still doesn't get touched by mass media.
Wonder Woman is like, we should do like a whole show on Wonder Woman.
Right.
That subject is so deep.
Right. I mean, come on, you know, girls are wearing the t-shirts, you know, every girl, girls are saying, oh, I'm Wonder Woman, it's like, okay, that market's out there, you know.
We're going to see it.
No.
And the Joss Whedon script was brilliant, and they were like, no, we don't want that, they rejected it, and basically it's the same idea that became the first Captain America movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was supposed to take place in World War II.
Uh-huh.
As a flashback.
Right.
And then come forward to catch up at the end. But even, like, the Wonder Woman origins, like, the real, like, the
made out of clay?
No, I mean the comic book creator.
Oh, yeah.
Behind-the-scenes stories of her and, like, who created her, and it's such a...
Well, it's the guy who invented the lie detector.
Right.
Right.
And all the bondage sequences and stuff. Like, we should get a guest or two for a Wonder Woman episode.
You know, that's the thing, too. It's funny. It's like all the female characters in, like, comic book movies now, and even comic books in general, basically get shafted. Because it's like, we can't have, you know, like, now, like, Wonder Woman's going to be in Batman vs. Superman, right?
Uh-huh.
But she's, like, the third wheel.
Right.
So, technically, you could call the movie, like, Trinity or something and make it equal, but she's going to be, like, you know, third or fourth build or wherever, because, you know, like, she probably won't be in the whole movie, you know?
Right.
Because everyone's going to pay to see Batman vs. Superman anyway.
Right. And have you heard the rumor about putting Captain Marvel or Black Adam in the movie?
Yeah, I have.
What do you think? Like, does this not sound like letting all of the animals out of the cage too soon?
Well, like, here's the thing, like, and, you know, like, this is what's, like, weird, is, like, okay, like, Captain Marvel, Shazam, as he has to be called now, because, you know, like, Marvel will probably pitch a fit about it, but I like Captain Marvel better. I like the name better, because he's Captain Marvel.
He predates everything.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Right.
I mean, I understand legally why, but, I mean, it's just wrong.
Right. So, like, we're going to see, like, okay, so like the big rumor what is Rock's going to be Black Adam. Yeah. Okay. All right, I can see that.
Yeah.
I think that would be perfect, but is he going to wear the Spock ears?
He has to.
He has to have the Widow's Peak too.
Yes.
He's got to have that weird hair. But then it's like, okay, so now who do you get to play Captain Marvel? Someone that smiles a lot, you know.
Who, I mean, and that's my thing is who can go on screen up against The Rock,
right,
and look like his equal,
right? I just hope it's not Vin Diesel.
Oh man, no, that should be John Hamm.
Well, you know, I could see that happening. They've made some weird choices before. Okay, so, like, and this is, like, the weird part about it, too, is, like, okay, so Ben Affleck's, like, 6'3", 6'4", right?
Right.
Rock's about the same height. So Black Adam and Batman are going to be the same height. Superman is, what, like, 6 feet tall, 6'2"?
Yeah.
Harry Cavill, whatever you want to call him. He's British, right?
Yeah.
So I think physically he made a good... He looked like Superman, but he didn't have that kind of, like, Superman innocence, you know, that, like, Christopher Reeve had.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a different Superman.
Yeah.
I mean... Christopher Reeve obviously is Superman.
Yeah, it's because everybody grew up with
that. But even beyond that,
right.
Like he made you believe a man could fly.
Right.
Right. But I mean, I think the guy, Henry Cavill.
Right.
If that's his, I don't know. like, I really like his movie. I really liked him as the new Superman. But I feel like moving forward, everything should be built around him as Superman. Everything should be sculpted around his Superman's universe.
Rather than them bringing everybody else to, like, help him?
Yes. And everyone that's casted in should be casted in consideration of him.
Right.
So Ben Affleck as Batman, I still will not let go. I think it's a horrible idea.
Well, here's, like, what I was hoping for. Like, okay, so, like... And here's, like, the general idea I think they have. Okay, so if they get Ben Affleck as Batman, right, they're hoping, like, okay, we have a star that can carry this movie, right? And, you know, he's obviously a good filmmaker. He's, you know, like, when he got away from the blockbusters and started doing actual movies, I was like, oh, okay, you know, he's not a bad actor either. But it's like... You have to look, like, you're going to have to, like, ignore the fact that it's Ben Affleck in a bat suit.
Which is hard.
Right, because it's going to be, like, he's either going to have to talk really, really different. And, like, the only way I could see him working as Bruce Wayne is when he takes the mask off, he's going to have scars all over him. Because if he is going to be the older Batman, is this one who got beat up for, like, 20 years?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I know how older pro wrestlers look. I mean, you know, they don't look like they're, you know, they're models or anything, you know?
Like Ben Affleck meets Bruiser Brody?
Yeah, Ben Affleck meets Terry Funk's forehead,
you know? Yeah. I think, I don't know, I feel that it's going to be Ben Affleck as Batman.
Right.
Where with Henry Cavill, he's the new Superman.
Right.
But even though he was in some other movies,
you didn't know it was him. You couldn't didn't bother you.
Yeah, like, you believe that this is the new Superman.
Right.
Where Ben Affleck as Batman, that's Ben Affleck playing Batman. And so... Like with Thor, that guy, he's been in a bunch of stuff, but I don't even know his name because he's the new Thor, right?
You know what? I can't think of his name either.
Right. Which, so it's perfect.
Right.
Like, that's Thor.
Yeah. Like, I think he was in the new Red Dawn, the Red Dawn remake, which was, you know, pile of crap. And I was like, oh, it's Thor.
Yeah.
You know, it took me a while, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, Thor's in this movie, he just has short hair.
He was also in the first new Star Trek.
Oh yeah, he was Kirk's dad.
Yeah.
For like 2 seconds.
Yeah, but he was awesome. That was the best part of the movie.
where Kirk's dad dies?
Yeah.
And then they reboot the whole universe of Star Trek?
Yeah.
See, I just wonder how they're going to do that again. Or at least, you know, continue. Because now it's like, okay, they ran through Khan. And so, like, are they ever going to show, like, the Klingons? And is
right.
Kirk ever going to get, like, Carol Marcus pregnant to have his son? So.
Little furry Tribbles.
Yeah. Did they have the Tribbles even shown up in the new Star Trek universe?
I don't think so.
No.
But they need to.
They need to.
They need to get Batgirl to show up in green body paint.
Oh, yeah. They need to have Harry Mudd,
yes.
too. See, like, there is one way I think they can reboot that, or they could save Star Trek, and they bring in Q.
Yes.
Because really, I mean, they could just have him say, you know, like, I've seen what's going on, and he screws everything
right.
up. Right. You know.
Forever and ever.
Yeah, forever and ever.
To.
Right.
Here we go. Changing it up.
Yeah. So, like, I was reading online today that Transformers 4 is coming out.
Right.
It's almost 3 hours long.
That better be some good dinosaur fights.
Okay. So, like, here's the thing I noticed with all the other Transformers movies. It's all about the humans and not about the robots. And all the robots basically look the same, like, when they before they adapt their, you know, car forms.
Right.
Because, I mean, I grew up in the 80s, and I watched all that stuff, you know. And I love, like, the beginning, because, like, you know, like, the Transformers all had a look to them.
Yeah.
Now they all look like they're these, they could change into whatever they want.
Yeah.
And they get killed, and it's not the same. You know, the Matrix is like, what, like a big floating mathematical symbol or something, right?
Right.
So they did the third one. Optimus Prime just kills Megatron. Boom.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. And now they're doing a fourth one with Michael Bay
right
back. So I don't know how you can do a close to 3 hour long story with Michael Bay. There must be a lot of explosions.
Dinosaur fight. You get dinosaurs.
Well, Mark Wahlberg's in there, so, you know, like, we're going to have to. And really, to tell you the truth, it's what, like, it's like June, it's not even June 20th, right?
Right.
And I think, like, every big movie's come out.
Let's see, we've had X-Men.
X-Men.
The Transformers movie will be out.
Right. Spider-Man came out in May. Right. Which is bad.
Yeah. What up? Let's see. The How to Train Your Dragon 2, if you want to count that.
Yeah.
What is... Oh, well, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy in August. So, obviously, Disney, like, thought this one through and decided we'll release a blockbuster at the end of the summer instead
right.
of the beginning. So, hopefully, you know, I mean, from what I've seen of it, it looks different. And if they do find a way to connect it to the Marvel Universe, you know, kudos to them. So.
Well, Cosmic Cubes is like, it's like a...
The Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the easy, you know, like, oh, look, here we go. Look, here's a picture of the cube.
Right. Because what was it like? Okay, so like the Cosmic Cube, which they didn't call it that. It's what,
right.
the Tesseract.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was in Captain America.
Yes.
It was in Avengers.
Yeah.
So that's the first part.
Yeah.
So the second part was what, the Aether?
Yeah.
Which was in Thor 2.
Yeah.
So that's two. So there obviously needs to be one in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And Avengers 2.
Right.
Hopefully.
Which Avengers 2... Is that next year?
Yeah, it's next year. Which
and
is
then when is Ant-Man?
Ant-Man, all right. So Ant-Man, and this brings me up to a really funny story, okay? And this is what I think too, and I'm gonna veer off for a while. I'm gonna go off on a tangent. Seymour's walking on a thin line right now. Okay, so Ant-Man was supposed to be done by Edgar Wright,
uh-huh.
who did Hot Fuzz.
Right.
Shaun of the Dead. The World's End. He had a hand in that, right? Because he's partners with Simon Pegg.
Right.
Okay, so he'd been working on Ant-Man probably since before the Avengers to come up with this movie. And he's working on this movie, and all of a sudden he bails. He quits. He's like, done. He's like, And then, so who did they find first to come in and replace him? Adam McKay, who did Anchorman. So, the same year that Marvel's going to do their big Avengers sequel, they're going to do their spin-off movie
with Mr. Funny or Die.
With Mr. Funny or Die. And so then comes in the room, because of course Paul Rudd got cast in the lead, which he's not playing Hank Pym, he's playing Scott Lang, who's a thief who somehow gets the Pym particles and becomes Ant-Man. Now everybody's going to be confused because I always thought Hank Pym was Pym.
So he's not the first Ant-Man.
Right, he's the second Ant-Man.
Right.
So that'd be like them doing a Flash movie and having like Barry Allen somehow transfer the powers to like Wally West.
But worse than that.
Worse than that.
Because Wally West, you could...
Right.
He was around long enough...
Right.
That, like, for us...
He was Kid
Wally
Flash.
West, it was Kid Flash, but Wally West was like Flash for like 15 years or something.
Yeah.
This is like if Bart Allen was
right.
the Flash.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Because they did that for
like, you know, a year.
Yeah, and it failed.
Right.
Okay, so like getting back to like Ant-Man, and so like Edgar Wright leaves, right? And so then comes up the rumors that all the Marvel movies are following the same pattern. It's always the hero finds out that his old mentor is the bad guy. Because we saw it in Thor 2, because, spoiler alert, Loki becomes Odin.
Right.
Captain America 2, Robert Redford is the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is actually controlled by Hydra.
Right.
So people start complaining that all the Marvel movies are the same. And if you go back, like, remember when The Incredible Hulk came out? Edward Norton was in there.
Right.
And when he did The Incredible Hulk, he didn't star in it. He helped rewrite the script.
Yeah.
So what I think it is that Marvel kind of has a set tone of how they want their movies made. And when someone comes in there and stars in it or directs it or writes it, and if it veers off in any sort of direction, they get, like... we don't know if we really want this person involved anymore. Let's shoo him off.
And go back to the reliable.
Yeah, let's go back to, you know, like the paint by numbers and, you know. And granted, I like Captain America 2. I thought it was better than the first one.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, everything in the Marvel Universe now is like the government is evil now. Or Hydra now is the government. And there's no Hulk movie. There's no second Hulk movie yet.
Right.
Or
third.
Third.
Yeah.
Or there's no She-Hulk. Where's She-Hulk? Once again...
Now, She-Hulk, directed by Adam McKay.
Right.
That would be nice.
Yeah, because it would be a comedy.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could play up the fact that, you know, she's a big, tall, strong girl, and people treat her like a sex object, which they do.
Yeah.
And you know, she can't get anything to go right for her. So that's like a comedy of errors in the right direction.
Yeah. She-Hulk would be a good TV show.
It would be a good TV
good
show.
Sitcom.
Yeah, it'd be a good sitcom.
Maybe not on like a network, but like a sci-fi or something.
Yeah.
Or FX, something like that.
FX. Which is like cable gets all the good shows.
Right.
Network shows are just bad.
Well, they've got to be safe.
Yeah, they got to be safe.
They have too much advertising money from standard stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want to mess with it. That's crazy. I didn't know. Yeah. But there's a common thing now growing with the whole, you know, government bad.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
The New World Order.
Right.
And all of that. So, years ago, there was a S.H.I.E.L.D., like, miniseries showing, like, the origins of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Did you ever...
Was that the David Hasselhoff TV movie?
No. This was... No. No. I forgot about that. But this was a book, and it had, like, Michelangelo and Da Vinci as being part of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, okay. So it was a comic book series.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was, like,
okay.
The Architects of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something like that.
Right.
And... kind of like tying into like an Illuminati
thing.
S.H.I.E.L.D. really was. Like, S.H.I.E.L.D. was behind the scenes for a very long time.
Right.
As like the guardians of humanity. Almost like the opposite of the assassins in the DC universe.
Oh, right, right, right.
Maybe they're hoped everyone forgot about that and are going to try to surprise everybody by calling back to that.
Yeah, that was like a concept that I think really killed the last Batman movie, because they went from... They kill off Ra's al Ghul, right?
Yeah.
Then the League of Shadows comes back, led by Bane, which is really led by his daughter, Talia.
Yeah.
And here's like the whole Batman Dark Knight trilogy concept that I totally hate. Okay, so like at the end of the Dark Knight, Batman goes on the run. In Dark Knight Rises, it takes place like what, 8 years later?
Mm-hmm.
And so Bruce Wayne retires, so we get no Riddler, no Penguin,
right?
You know, no Joker breaking out of Arkham, no Robin, no new Batmobile. No real serious upgrade to anything, just Bruce Wayne sitting in his mansion being depressed for 8 years, and Bane comes along and destroys Gotham City. So Bruce Wayne gets back into shape at the beginning of the movie, returns, then he goes to fight Bane, gets his ass kicked. Then 40 minutes later, he returns again to save the city from a bomb and dies and leaves everything to, what's his name?
The character's name?
Yeah, John Blake.
John Blake.
Okay.
Robin John Blake.
Yeah, Robin John Blake. So they could actually get out of that and say, okay, we did have a Robin in the Batman movies. So, like... I watched that movie and I thought, okay, you know, it's all right to watch on the big screen, but I'm like, I haven't even bought the DVD yet. And when it came to buying the DVD, I bought The Dark Knight Returns because I thought that was a 100 times better story.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, that pretty much should have been the third movie, you know.
Yes.
But I think, like, I think what it is, it's like, I think directors, because Sam Raimi did the same thing. They get tired, and they're like, oh, I'll just fill this contractual obligation out and throw the third movie out there. And if that was the case, they should have just gone with someone else.
Yeah.
Because, like, the third Spider-Man movie was a piece of crap.
It's horrible.
Compared to, like, what the second movie was, because I was like, the second movie came out, and I was like, okay, I like the first movie. The second movie was like, wow, this is great. This is awesome. And then the third movie, you're like, okay, there's Venom, there's Sandman, there's the Green Goblin looking like a Power Ranger or whatever. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
I can't deal with this.
That was a big disappointment, because the second movie, like, changed the mood.
Right.
And gets you ready for, like, something big's gonna happen.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, nothing happens. This,
like,
sucks.
Like, what killed me about that, too, is like, okay, so why didn't, like, Harry OD on his dad's serum and just mutate into the Green Goblin?
Oh, that would have been good.
And they finally have the showdown, because, like, the Goblin armor deal was like, I was like, you know, okay, you just want to cop out on having a costume for the guy.
Right.
You know, and it's, you know, it's the same thing with, like, X-Men and all these other characters. It's like, you know, oh, we can't really put them in tights, you know, that just doesn't work in a real world. It's a comic book movie, no one cares.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I think we're about out of time for this episode.
All right.
But let's leave the fans with the listeners. Are they fans or listeners? I don't know.
Hopefully both.
Okay. Let's leave them with a question.
All right.
And maybe we can get a phone number or something before we post this.
All right.
Had Heath Ledger not died, how would that have affected the third Batman movie?
That's a good question.
And we'll come back to that with a future episode with hopefully some of their comments, and maybe a guest to join us.
A wrestling guest, maybe.
I think perhaps we have someone in mind that's a big Batman fan.
I think we could do that, too.
Yes. All right, well, thanks for dinner.
All right.
And we'll catch you next time.
All right, thanks a lot, Freak Boy.
See you later.